Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we will be covering, again, the Austin-a-thon. I'm sorry, I'm still here.
I'm not sorry you're here.
Well, no. I'm sorry I'm still at home right now, but only for a little while longer, and we need to get the Austin-a-thon done. So, we're covering Emma and the adaptations therein.
Or thereof, as the case may be.
Thereof, I mean.
Yes, we are covering Emma, and there are a lot of adaptations of Emma.
Three.
Well, there's three that we did. I think there was a fourth that we discovered while we were looking, and it's like, shit, we don't have time for that. So I guess I need to go ahead and give disclaimers. There's going to be cursing.
Whoops.
There will also be spoilers if you've never seen or read Emma, particularly if you have not seen some of these other adaptations.
We'll get in the nitty-gritty.
We will definitely get into the nitty-gritty, but this might help you decide which thing you're going to watch.
And no, we're not watching Clueless. It takes the adaptation a little bit too far for what our parameters are.
No, we're
talking about... It's a fine movie, we're just not covering it.
Right. And so we also are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having the white Rioja we have in the fridge.
Because it's really good, and it's a good base for the sangria that you had last time. I am having a cocktail, or mocktail, I should say, which has been part of my theme for the Austin-a-thon, and this is from the Regency Book of Drinks.
Except for that one time.
So there are only four mocktails in here, and there are six novels that are being adapted.
So you're only going to cheat one more time.
Right, I get to cheat one more time.
I feel like you should cheat for persuasion with me.
I think we can have champagne too. Yes, that's part of the plan. How did you know? We actually did not discuss this.
We're discussing it now.
Yes, but this is the Gently Bred Lady Mocktail, and it's actually quite good. It's 3 ounces of grapefruit juice. I know that's surprising that I would like anything with grapefruit juice, but I do. Half an ounce of lemon juice, half an ounce of simple syrup, and 6 to 8 ounces of tonic water. And I know that sounds like a lot of bitter stuff, but somehow it comes together and it's quite sweet.
It is rather good, actually. I was surprised.
Yeah, you don't like grapefruit at all. So
no. I don't mind grapefruit. I just don't seek it out.
Yeah, no, it's quite good. All of these mocktails are remarkably good. So
I like in grapefruit to cranberries for me, where it's just like, it's fine. I'm not going to get cranberry juice just because. Like, it's not like a go-to drink for me.
Yeah, cool. But yeah, so... this one actually is quite good, and we put it in our I Hate Everybody But You glasses because that is Emma all over.
Isn't it just?
This plot, and I know you're going to summarize it, but the part of the plot is you've got people who just hate everyone.
Yep.
And so we...
Relatable.
Relatable, honestly. So we did three adaptations of Emma.
The 1996 Gwyneth Paltrow version, the 2009 series, the short miniseries that we've never watched before.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to what we thought of that in a minute. And the 2020 version with Anya Taylor-Joy. I will say, just before we get started, actually, I'll do the plot synopsis and then I'll say this. Mm-hmm. All right, the plot of Emma is a woman determined to improve other people's lives. When she tries to play matchmaker for her friend Harriet and ignores the love that currently exists between her and a farmer, she tries to improve Harriet's station, and it leads to jealousy and disaster. Her ego leads to her downfall and is called out by her childhood friend, Mr. Knightley, who confesses his love for her.
Yeah, Mr. Knightley is clearly the best person in this.
There's also stuff with a guy named... Oh, I almost called him Churchill again. God damn it.
It is Churchill, Natalie.
Oh.
It's Churchill. You said Campbell the last time.
Campbell. I almost said Campbell. His name is Frank Churchill. And I've heard it so many times in these rewatches, so of course I should know that. But and there's also a thing with Frank Churchill coming to town and... there being like a flirtation with Emma, and then, oh, surprise, he's engaged to somebody else. It's like, okay. And yeah. For what? Anyway, so I will just say right off the bat, these adaptations are rather similar. They don't really stray too much from the source material from what I know. I've never read Emma, again, sorry. But the only one I've read even partially is Pride and Prejudice. But As far as I know,
I've read it several times.
Good for you. But from what I can tell, these adaptations, even just from each other, don't really differ that much. Like, there's some more padding in the miniseries just because there has to be. It's longer. But honestly, it really doesn't change too much, except for the 2020 version. It changes a little bit, but it doesn't change anything too profound. But so we're going to mostly be doing a strict, like, just comparison to the other, because it's more going to be in, like, how we liked it portrayed.
Yeah.
In this case, not like, oh, this is objectively better. Like, I'm not saying any of this is objective truth.
Right.
This is all subjective.
Right.
But including all the other ones that have come before it, it's all our personal opinion. But more so is, like, we're just kind of, it's based off of our preference, really, on this one, because they're so similar.
Right. So Emma, and I think it's because the story is fairly straightforward. Fewer events, but unlike Pride and Prejudice and unlike, you know, Safe Sense or whatever, there are fewer events that occur in the book that are critical to the story. And so all of those events appear in all of these adaptations. The series, as series do, tends to cover more, and I felt like it padded some things. That is my only real serious criticism to the structure of the series as compared to the movies. I think all of them contain the main things that you need to have for an adaptation of Emma.
They all have the ingredients. It's whether or not we like the soup.
What? Right. Whether it comes together, whether it needs like a dash.
I don't know why I said soup, though. That was very specific.
It's getting weirder all the time. I'm having a weird day anyway.
It has been a weird day. There's a tropical storm nearby. I mean, it's
been things are happening. It's just.
We've been watching a lot of Jane Austen.
We have. And oh my God, I think we might be killing your father too. It's just a thing.
He hasn't been paying attention. It's fine. No. I mean, he has a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Let's get into
1996.
We do a pro con list for this, by the way.
And they're very short for this again, because we're getting more pointed in our notes for these.
And I also think for this one, a little bit like Mansfield Park, it's if I have a problem with like something very specific, it's usually about like the story and how I maybe just don't like a character, and I'm just like, okay, well, I can't say that's a con, it's the story. Like, I can't say, oh, I hate Emma. It's like, I can hate the way she's portrayed, but
I hate Emma. I'm not saying that.
I'm saying I can make it a con if I just don't like the way it's portrayed compared to the other two versions we saw. Mm-hmm. But and I'm saving that for the one I'm going to talk about.
Or if they add a weird slave back,
but that's not in this case.
No.
But it's more just like, I'm not going to say, oh, well, I just hate that it's boring or whatever for Mansfield Park. I mean, I already know it's boring, but it's Mansfield Park. I'm sorry.
Right.
The movie is not as bad. Anyway, let's get into the 1996 Gwyneth Paltrow Emma with our pros.
Do you want to start with the pros?
I have the cast. Mm-hmm. I have all the names and such. These are the people that we know from it, if that tells you anything about our taste in media. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop, as Emma.
Shakespeare
in Love is where we know her best. Well, we know her best. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Northam as Mr. Knightley. He's Anthony Eden in The Crown.
He's great.
I think that my dad at one point said, is the prerequisite for being Mr. Knightley portraying a prime minister? Because we have another prime minister in the next one Mansfield Park.
In The Crown.
So that too. So anyway, Toni Collette is Harriet from Knives Out is where I know her. Mm-hmm. In The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor, we all know Ewan McGregor. Hello there. the Star Wars prequels and Moulin Rouge and all that stuff. We all know Ewan McGregor. Mm-hmm. As Mr. Churchill. Mm-hmm. Alan Cumming as Mr. Elton.
Yeah. That is a good casting.
It's a good casting too. I think they do Mr. Elton's really well. I mean, there's one that I like the least and one that I like the best, but we'll get to that. But I think Alan Cumming is a good one. Polly Walker as Jane Fairfax, who is Lady Featherington. She is fucking gorgeous.
She is like fucking gorgeous.
We already knew she's gorgeous from like Bridgerton, but like
back in the day, she was in a Rome series that was a BBC series. She's like amazing. She's
so so she's pretty.
So good.
And she's such a great actress.
Yeah.
And I didn't get this actor's name. I'm sorry. Lord Commander Mormont as Mr. Weston.
Yeah. Yes.
Lord
Commander
That's funny.
It is very funny.
From Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into my pros. My pros. And this is actually true across the board, which I didn't think was going to happen considering we had a BBC series to add to this. But beautiful sets and on-site locations. It's very well done.
It's
well shot. So yeah. I have nothing, no begrudging there. Great costumes. And that's also true basically across the board. I have a few gripes later on, but mm-hmm. otherwise, great. There's some funny moments I wrote down. Pork, Miss Bates.
Miss Bates just like randomly yells out pork because
her mother doesn't hear well,
right? And so she's being the school for the deaf person. It's like
she's just yelling,
"Our top story tonight."
All right, Mr. Elton says, "I simply love celery root." Like he's talking to Harriet, and Emma thinks he's going to be saying he loves her, and he's just like, "I love celery root." Mm-hmm. Thank you for thinking I am thoughtful. That's funny. Mr. Churchill randomly beginning to sing with Emma. Like,
Ewan McGregor was doing a whole bunch of Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yeah. He was practicing. He was already in talks, I'm sure. But it's just funny because, like in other versions, he does sing with Emma. And at least he's, like, turning the page for her I think the series version, he's turning the page for her. And he didn't in the 2020 version.
No, he sings with Jane Fairfax in the 2020 version. It's freaking weird.
No, that's Mr. Knightley, mom.
No, I'm sorry.
But that's even weirder. We'll talk about that later.
Totally fucking weird.
But he's sitting in the crowd and Emma's singing and there's a pause and then he just gets up and starts singing. It's just very funny. That's a Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs reference. Sorry,
these
about
things
it.
Are just going to happen. I apologize. I'm having a day. And I'm not drinking. So think about it.
Mr. Knightley is talking to Emma about the ball and how he doesn't want to go. And he just says, "I just want to stay here and be cozy." And he stands in front of a full fucking mansion. And it's just like, "I just want to be cozy in my cozy abode." It's a mansion. Yeah. Dear Diary, today I tried not to think of Mr. Knightley. I tried not to think of him while I plucked the petals off a daisy in the garden to ascertain his affections towards Harriet. I don't think we should have daisies in the garden.
It's got some humor. It's funny. I will say, I think that's
I'm sorry, go ahead. So this was the one that we really laughed at because it's in a really sweet moment. And then she's like, "I need not call you Mr. Knightley. I may now call you my Mr. Knightley." Not George, like his name. Like no. just my like, Mr. Knightley.
I guess Jeremy Northam is a very formal guy, so I'm okay. Whatever. Is that all your good parts?
No. I love Jeremy Northam as Mr. Knightley. I think he does like the scolding of Emma pretty well, and like, but he also has like a light-hearted jabbing with her that should be established pretty early on. Mm-hmm. Of like, they have a fun little combative not a brother and sister dynamic exactly, but similar.
And they should.
That's the whole point.
It's a friends to lovers trope,
which I love.
It's your favorite.
My favorite. Mr. Martin is adorable. That's true for all of these versions. I love Mr. Martin. He's supposed to be a cute little guy.
He's a love interest for Harriet, and he's the one that Harriet rejects because Emma says to reject him, which is idiotic, and he gets his feelings all hurt and it's very sad. Mm-hmm. But he's still there for her. He is very true and constant. He's there for her.
He's loyal.
And it's pretty awesome.
The archery scene is great with Knightley defending Mr. Martin.
This is the only one that has an archery scene.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Much like the 1940 Pride and Prejudice is the only one that has an archery scene.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a little different.
I think they use it well. I think obviously like once Emma starts spouting her bullshit, she starts missing the target and it makes sense. And he's making bullseyes while she's fucking up. We see Emma do nice things for the tenants. I like seeing that. We don't see that in the 2020 version. We do see that for the 2009 version, but we especially see it in this version. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Weston is more of a confidant. I remembered in the 2020 version, she just doesn't talk to Mrs. Weston all that much.
It's weird. It is weird.
And so it was refreshing seeing how much she like visited her and really confided in her. Mr. Knightley dancing with Harriet obviously is the best part. I think this version does it really well. Not really like over dramatizing it, just kind of like, this is just
I'm
a nice
a good
thing.
noble guy.
This is a nice thing.
He's sharing
I'm recognizing it, and that being enough.
Yes.
Badly done Emma scene is great.
Oh,
him, like,
yeah.
Talking her down.
Yeah.
Because I especially love the way he delivered badly done Emma. Badly done. Like he softens the last one. It's just really good.
Yeah,
great
yeah,
choice.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you know, the delivery, and well, I mean, some of these are directorial choices, and maybe we should wait. Are we waiting to compare? Are we comparing now? Or are we?
I'm kind of comparing as I go.
Okay.
But this line of after she's gone to visit the Bateses to apologize, because Emma says something really nasty about Mrs. Bates,
to
her face, in front
she's
of a whole
bitch.
Party of people
she's
about
terrible.
Like how much she talks about herself. And like she's saying, like even Miss Bates is. She's an older, more poor lady, and she's come down in life.
She has
the gift of the gab. She talks a lot, and
she's insecure.
She's extremely insecure, and she's very friendly, and she's very kind, and she's well-meaning. But we all know those people, and sometimes they can get on your nerves, but you don't voice it.
No.
And Miss Bates says something like they're trying to play a game or something, and Miss Bates is like, oh, I have to say three dull things. That'll happen as soon as I open my mouth. She's already self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm.
And then Emma's like, oh, well, you have to limit it to three. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, and
she's already made a self-deprecating joke. Don't
that Miss Bates response is just heartbreaking. She's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I know you have to tolerate how boring I am, basically.
Yeah, it's very sad. She takes it the worst
it so
possible
personally,
way.
And then she realizes, like, oh my gosh, she's thought of me this way all of this time.
Because that's what you think.
Well, and to be clear, so Emma is like the grand lady of the county kind of thing. She goes around like
she's popular.
It's not just being popular. It is part of her duty to other people. To you know, go and visit and be kind and whatever. That's part of what she's supposed to be doing. So she visits the Bateses every week at least, if not multiple times.
To hear
a
about
week.
Jane Fairfax, their niece.
Well, it's not just that. It's just to be neighborly. And so or bring them things or whatever. And so she's been doing that all this time. And she's been depending on which version you're watching, she is like super catty behind their back.
Catty behind their back, but nice to their face.
But again,
in most versions,
but the level of cattiness, the degree of these art varies from adaptation to adaptation.
That was my water. I'm sorry.
But Emma has been hiding it fairly well to their faces when she speaks
in this version.
In this version,
and in the next version, but not 2020.
Not in the 2020 version. And so it is really it's like a slap in the face to Miss Bates when this happens at this party in front of all of these people. And she's so embarrassed and she's so hurt. And so Mr. Knightley coming in and saying, badly done. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You fucking idiot.
She is lower than you in station, mm-hmm. in popularity and all these things. And it's just going to get worse from here. Why would you say that to her? That really hurts her feelings. If she was of the same rank as you, I would let it slip. But not in this case.
Well, and there's so many layers to this, like the difference in societal expectations and in how it self-regulates, right? So it's not like Twitter, you know, it's not like everyone else is going to pile on one way or another. But that's kind of his point, is like, you set the tone.
Yeah.
You are the leader in this county, and if you treat her badly, everyone else will too. And you can't be that person. You've got to be a better person.
Anyway,
and that's what's great about Mr. Knightley. In all of these versions, he is so much better than Emma. It is just unreal.
He's just written that way.
Yeah.
And I really love this version of him. So after she's gone to visit Miss Bates, and Miss Bates has kind of given her the cut direct, but not to her face, because she was trying to hide before she came in. After she's like been trying to like give her like a basket as a way of an apology and all that stuff, do her weekly visit and all those kinds of things. Like
mm-hmm.
she wasn't given the chance, but she did try. And so when she comes back, Mr. Knightley's going off to London to think or whatever, and she. And he's just like, she's really worried that she's lost his friendship because of this. And he says, good friends do not doubt, but hope. that you can become better. Yeah. And so I like that line. Emma admits that she loves Mr. Knightley before he does, which I like. In this version, she like voices it to Mrs. Weston.
Yeah.
Mrs. Weston, who used to be her her governess, who has moved basically
right.
half
she
a mile away.
She gets married right at the beginning, and that is one of the catalysts in the story.
And Emma is like, oh, I was her matchmaker.
I said the math.
I did it. So that makes me think she can do it with everybody else, including her friend Harriet. Mm-hmm. And so I like that she admits that, and she knows that. And the proposal is very sweet.
And I do like in this version, Mr. Knightley explains to her why he was so upset about the Miss Bates incident at the end. Like he explains, like, look, I thought it was Frank Churchill who is Mr. Weston's son who's been living with someone else. It's a long story. But he is somebody that Mr. Knightley thinks, and everyone thinks really, that Emma is going to hook up with Mr. Churchill. And so when he's explaining why he was so upset about this, basically, I thought it was Frank Churchill exerting his influence on you. And I couldn't watch it anymore because, you know, it just means that you're going farther away from me, that you're in love with him, and you know, I don't matter anymore. And he's very hurt by the fact that he's not going to be part of her life anymore.
Because let's be clear, he's been going over to her house forever.
Yeah, pretty much every day. Like, you know, when she says, I when I was talking to the cook about dinner, and I realized, oh, wait, you know, I usually order food that he likes to eat.
Yeah, and that's really hard when she's trying not to think of him. Mm-hmm. But let me also lay out her family really quick. Her mother's dead. Her father, she lives alone with her father, and her sister is married to Mr. Knightley's brother, oddly enough, mm-hmm. and they are off in London having many kids, mm-hmm. and they come to visit every once in a while, depending on the version that you watch, he is part of it, but in this version, they're not very important. But one of Emma's biggest things is, or should be one of her biggest things about her character is that she doesn't want to leave her father alone. And in different versions of the father I like better, but because I just didn't find this one as memorable. But it definitely shows like in which version, like how much he's dependent on Emma to be around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so even after Emma accepts Mr. Knightley's proposal, she's concerned about, hey, what the fuck am I going to do? I can't leave my father alone. And Mr. Knightley is kind enough to be like, I'll live with you until things happen. And I'll move in with you.
You will figure it out as
because he basically lives there anyway. Like he kind of walks over there every single day. So I mean, what's the difference?
One of his lines, and I think it comes up in the series, not necessarily in this version, but one of his lines is, "I'm gonna go where my heart is. Where mm-hmm. That's where I'm supposed to be. If my heart is gonna be at Hartsfield, which is their house." Or Hartfield, whatever it is. If it's going to be there, then that's where I belong. That's where I should be.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
that's very sweet.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Goals. Anyway.
Yes.
What are your pros?
So my pros, and they're actually pretty short. The cast, the sets, the music, I think are all very good. Mm. I do think there were some good, funny bits. And that's the thing about Emma as a story. It is quite funny. It's probably more funny than Pride and Prejudice.
It has more room for humor than Pride and Prejudice. I find the Pride and Prejudice movie a little bit funnier, but just because of how awkward people can be.
Well, but I will say this. When you're talking about Jane Austen stories, I love Pride and Prejudice more than Emma, in part because I hate Emma. I think she is a spoiled fucking
We'll talk
rat.
About that in comments.
She as a character in all of these, and she's meant to be because she is in the story as well, is a spoiled brat.
Yes.
Who
has such a big ego.
She has a huge ego for someone in her situation. And so it is really, and those kind of foibles are what Jane Austen writes about,
but
right?
The
That's
thing
the
is,
whole, you... let me finish. That is the whole purpose of what she's writing about, is like these are people who are not self-aware, right? And how they go from being not self-aware to being more self-aware, and all the different ways that that happens. And that's what these stories are about, more or less. So I get it, but you know, if I'm sitting down just to read a Jane Austen, it's not going to be Emma, it's going to be Pride and Prejudice, because that's going to happen. Anyway, so she is appropriately petty, Emma, the character, in this. I think in this version of Emma, Gwyneth Paltrow is probably the best at being mad at herself. Because when she gets, like, it's like the archery scene as an example, like she, like Mr. Knightley's giving her, like, pointing out, like, her foils, and she gets flustered, but not in an aggressive, she's taking it more out on herself rather than on others. And I think that in the other versions of Emma that we saw, she doesn't turn it inward early. She only turns it inward later. And I like the fact that immediately in this version, she's realizing, shit, I may be screwing up here. She doesn't want to admit it. She never says it aloud, but you know, it is something that it hurts her, and it shows in her character, as opposed when he calls her down. And I think it shows more. It shows in the series some, but I feel like the portrayal is done a little bit more clearly here.
I think it definitely shows in the series.
But yeah, I love it. Alan Cumming as Mr. Elton, super funny.
Yeah.
He's not the best Mr. Elton.
Absolutely.
But he's really good. There's good editing of the story. There are some things that are left out here, but you know, that's fine. The costumes are lovely. That journal entry at the end, I think, is so just funny. Hilarious.
For not thinking of Mr. Knightley, it's so funny.
And I love that in all of the versions, and I've forgotten actually that this was true in the book, she goes after him. Like, he's getting ready to propose. She tells him don't.
Because she thinks he's telling her, I'm going to propose to Harriet.
Right, exactly. But she tells him not to, and he leaves, and thank God she goes after him, because every time you're like, oh, stop it, you're such a moron. And he is way too good for her. In all of the versions, but especially, actually, the next version. But this one and the next one, he is, like, significantly better than she is.
I would like to say, just before we continue, let's talk about Harriet. Just her character, not necessarily this very version of her. She's fine. Harriet
is good.
I think Jennifer's good. But Harriet is this... basically kind of bastard born person, maybe an illegitimate child who has been sent to boarding school where in
Highbury.
And she basically is taken under Emma's wing because Emma needs an ego trip.
Yeah, Emma's bored. Mrs. Weston's left. You know.
She wants a confidant, but she also wants someone to train in a way. And so Emma has decided, okay, I'm going to set my matchmaking eyes on her. And she already has a guy who is interested in her, Mr. Martin. And once
he is a farmer,
once he makes an offer of marriage to her via letter, Emma's like, no, you shouldn't accept this. His sister probably helped him write it. He's probably awful. And he's way below what you can get. And as far as like station's concerned, and even though that's highly unlikely, she ends up refusing him because she's a doormat and she wants Emma's good approval. And so Emma goes on this quest to hook her up with Mr. Elton, but Mr. Elton is interested in Emma actually, which she finds out, and she's disturbed, and she's, if she is portrayed right, she feels really bad about it. And then Mr. Churchill comes to town, and there's a ball, and Mr. Knightley, as I mentioned in my best parts, offers to dance with Harriet because she's alone, even though Mr. Knightley said he wasn't going to be dancing. He dances with Harriet to make her feel better because everyone else has shunned her, in a sense. No one wants to dance with her, including Mr. Elton, who is now married to an awful person. And yeah. So there's that nice moment, and then she's saved from a group of travelers who were trying to steal from her by Mr. Churchill, and at which point she expresses to Emma that, oh yeah, well, I'm in love again. And Emma's like, oh, that's great. And she thinks it's Mr. Churchill, but it's not, it's Mr. Knightley. And so when Mr. Churchill it's revealed that Mr. Churchill and Jane Fairfax, Miss Bates's niece, have been engaged for months, even though he's been flirting with Emma. That's a whole other issue. But I love how messy this story is. It's so great. But then we have Harriet being like, oh, well, it doesn't matter to me that he's engaged because I want Mr. Knightley. At which point Emma has already discovered her true feelings for Mr. Knightley, and she has a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'm determined not to think of Mr. Knightley. Mr. Knightley comes back and confesses his love, and she's like, fuck. but eventually Harriet ends up with Mr. Martin and everything's well.
Right. But what part of what should happen in that exchange with Harriet and Emma, where Harriet's like, Mr. Knightley's been encouraging me, and I was like, shit, because he's not the kind of guy who just laid somebody on. And she realized, and she's like,
but he was actually asking for Mr. Martin.
Right. But she, Emma, has this kind of like, oh my god, he doesn't love me. Oh my god, what am I gonna do? Because I'm really in love with him. Because she's finally realized he's way better than me. Which he is. And I've been like not appreciating his value, which is true. But yeah, I feel like that portrayal, and I realized when you were talking, part of the reason I like Gwyneth Paltrow so much in this role is like when she gets upset and that internal, I think maybe the reason I feel like she's internalizing is she turns red. Like, that's something she can't control as an actress. You can't control the fact that, you know, you either like turn red when you're upset.
You flush.
But she does, and it's like so like, genuine.
I think that's part of it.
Looking, I think it looks very genuinely like, oh shit, oh no, you know, like there's that internalization of the thought process.
I like Gwyneth Paltrow's version, or her version of the character, fine. I think her accent is a little bit interesting.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But that's just how she sounds even in Shakespeare in Love, so that's not an age thing, it's just her. But I'd also like, I think I like a different version of Emma Moore, and you probably can guess which one it is now that I've said it, but we're not going to talk about it until I get there, and I'll explain why later. But so cons for this one, I have very few. Weird intro credits.
Yeah, that's the only thing I wrote down.
Like a weird globe thing.
That's the only thing I wrote down.
Seriously? Yeah. Okay. Emma telling Harriet to refuse Mr. Martin. It feels uglier in this version.
Oh, do you think it's worse than this one?
Well, I think it's probably worse than No, actually, I think the initial discussion about Mr. Martin is worse than the TV version, but I think it just... I don't know. She feels it's way worse than that one, but it compared to the two, this and the series, I think that it is a little bit worse.
Between this version and the series, sure.
Because I feel like she's trying to manipulate her even more in this version, whereas in the series, she's just kind of like, oh, well, I mean, I guess it's your decision, but I don't know. And so, but
oh, you
like,
could, you could,
that's my opinion, Mom. Anyway, I don't like that they mentioned that Emma and Mr. Knightley have a 16-year age gap. It's also very, very briefly mentioned. It's not mentioned in the Anya Taylor-Joy version, but it is briefly mentioned in an argument, like you are 16 years more mature or something in the series, but it's not harped on. I think it's mentioned twice in this one. It's not just a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. I can't control that. And it's actually reflected in the actor's portrayal, which actually it doesn't bother me because Gwyneth Paltrow just looks older. But
she has more presence.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think it's an issue. It's just I don't like that they kind of harp on it. It just makes it a little bit weirder for me. Mm-hmm. The fakest snow ever. It just looks like paper. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Ewan McGregor's hair.
Ewan McGregor's hair is fucking terrible.
He's like a pop.
So
like,
it's bad. So bad. so bad.
While we're here, let's talk about really briefly about Frank Churchill, just so that we don't have to harp on it later. Mm-hmm. So Frank Churchill, again, as we have mentioned, is the son of Mr. Weston, who is like,
mother died. This is a thing. So like, we've got a number of people whose mothers died. Like, Jane Fairfax's mother died. Jane Fairfax's mother died.
Yeah, we're not laughing about Jane Fairfax's mother's death.
And Frank Churchill's mother died.
So they were both sent away as mother children.
Died. Right, but Emma and her sister got to stay with their father because they had what became Mrs. Weston.
Yes.
As a governess.
Mrs. Taylor.
Yeah. So she like helped them through all this stuff. And she's a huge member of the family, basically. And that's really shown very, very well in the series.
Oh, I think that's so really fantastically well done in the series.
It is.
Anyway, and it made me have a new appreciation. We'll talk about
that. Right. But Frank has gone to live with an aunt.
Yeah, and the aunt is very controlling of who he might marry.
Because
he got money coming his way after his uncle dies. Mm-hmm. And so apparently on this little excursion to Marymount. It's a college in New York. Barbie. I don't know. Somewhere by the sea. It is by the sea. They make an excursion by the sea, and that's the whole thing. Jane Fairfax is also living with her other aunt with the Campbells. And Miss Campbell has recently married this guy, Mr. Dixon, and they're on this walk, and Miss Fairfax almost, and she's like their companion or something, and she nearly falls off a cliff, but Mr. Dixon supposedly caught her and made her feel better. That we don't know if that's actually a true story. We think it's Frank Churchill that actually happened with, but either way, it caused a lot of scandal.
The story told is Mr. Dixon
is interested in Miss Fairfax instead of his own wife. And so Miss Fairfax, while there by the seaside, meets Mr. Churchill. And then briefly after, Miss Fairfax goes to Highgrove. That's considering what happens later, that's very funny. Mm-hmm. Anyway, goes to Highbury and she stays with her aunt. And shortly thereafter, Mr. Churchill comes to town with his foppish hair and his foppish blonde hair. It's like a bob. It's so bad. And he charms Emma and charms the county. And his aunt gets sick. He goes back. He comes back and they have a ball and he again flirts with Emma. And it's making a big show of, I'm flirting with Emma, I'm interested in Emma, which is what the Westons kind of want because they trust Emma and they want her to be a part of the family more intimately. That'd be great. And it might even entice him to stay in town for a little bit longer because he really doesn't come to visit them very often at all. And so Frank, then after his aunt dies, he reveals, ever since that time at the seaside, me and Miss Fairfax have been engaged. I also sent her a piano.
He's so shitty to her behind her back. Like, he's telling Emma,
like, to keep the cover going. Like,
yeah, tells Emma, like, he says awful things about
her. Oh, her hair sucks. Like,
she's born of no consequence. I mean, he's really terrible about her. I'm like,
he's the worst in the series.
If I were engaged to him and he was saying shit like that about me, and be like, you're gone, loser,
bro.
Yeah, it's like, woo. No. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad, and it gives reason for Emma to think that he's not interested in Jane.
Yes.
But
so it's a smart plan on his part, but it also can hurt her feelings, right? But
it's also really fascinating that in the series, Mr. Knightley picks up on it. Like,
oh, I love some that. Shit he's not a fucking either. Idiot. We'll talk about that in a minute.
I love him so much.
Me too. Harriet's creepy Mr. Elton treasures. She does it very creepily in this version. Like, she does keep a pencil in the series, but she throws it in the fire or whatever. And there's only a brief thing. It's weird regardless, but it's especially weird in this version where she's like, oh, he played with this bandage once. Oh, it's his pencil that he writes it down stuff in his diary. Like, I don't need that. And insulting Miss Bates packs a punch in this version. I think actually maybe that's a pro because it's supposed to, because in other versions, she doesn't she reacts to it. Miss Bates does react to it, but in this version she is like stuttering, and it makes it even harder to watch because it's like I'm sure some people have been there. I mean, I've been there, but it hurts.
I've been there on both ends. Like,
I mean, we've all said shit we didn't mean to say.
Yeah, and I've also been like, oh, that's how you think of me.
Exactly, it hurts. And so it hurts. It really does. And so watching that, I think it packs a punch in this version. I think that's actually a pro. Yeah. But I don't know why I put it in the con.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just because I was feeling uncomfortable.
I don't know.
But either way, yeah, it hurts. Yeah. So yeah, those are my cons. And you only said the weird intro was
really the same thing I wrote down. I think because we hadn't had other things to compare it to at that point, and I know we'd seen the Anya Taylor-Joy fairly recently, but not super recently. So I think we saw it like in 2020. But it's, we hadn't seen the Gwyneth Paltrow in a while. And so the weird credits,
spring break.
So. Yeah, I feel like from a cons perspective, it's very limited unless you start comparing it to other versions.
I agree.
So
it's a good movie overall. Awesome.
Yeah.
If you don't pay attention to that.
Let's talk about the series. Number in
2009. I have the cast.
Give the cast.
Johnny Lee Miller, once again, gracing the stage.
Oh my god,
I love him.
He is, for those of you who have forgotten from our Mansfield Park episode, he plays John Major on The Crown.
And he plays Edmund Bertram in Mansfield Park.
Right.
The movie. But
this is even better because he's Mr.
So Knightley. Much better. Yay! As soon as I saw that, I was like, fuck yeah, this is gonna rock.
Yeah.
And Michael Gambon as Mr. Woodhouse is Emma's father.
This is easily the best
Dumbledore.
This is the best Mr. Woodhouse.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, but it's true.
It is true. Because he actually has a character. Mm-hmm. Robert Bathurst as Mr. Weston. He's Anthony Strallen from Downton Abbey.
Yeah, pretty wild.
It's hard to like him just because of Downton Abbey. It's not his fault.
Make Mrs. Weston happy.
He deserves to be happy, except in season 5. Blake Ritson as Mr. Elton. He's from the Gilded Age. We've seen him in the Gilded Age.
Yes.
He's the bi guy? Gay guy.
Yeah, he's the gay guy.
He's not bi.
He's not bi.
He tries to act bi, but he's not. Anyway, Jefferson Hall is Robert Martin. He's Sir Hugh of the Vale in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Rupert Evans is Mr. Churchill. And I saw this. Edmund from fucking Bridgerton.
Yes!
In the flashbacks. From
Bridgerton. Of course, he's a complete dick in this
I
show.
I saw him, and I'm
he's
just
so cute.
I look at him, I'm just like, he Mom, looks so much that's like Edmund.
He looks so much like Luke Thompson in this.
He does.
So
it's
cool.
Wild.
It is. It's wild.
That's great casting on Bridgerton's part.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get into my pros. There are quite a few.
I have quite a few, too.
Fantastic. All right, so good music. Yes. Good costumes, good sets and on-site locations, which, again, I didn't expect to be true for this, but it is.
Because a lot of times these BBC series, at least the older ones that we have seen, have been less great. But 2009, they're up to snuff.
I think, honestly, it's probably my favorite in many ways because of the fact that it's not too grand, like the Anya Taylor-Joy version. Like, I think that Mr. Knightley's house is way too grand in that version.
Oh yeah, the location, I like how they spent.
I like how desolate his home is because he's the only one who lives there, and it's same for the Woodhouses and Emma and her father, because I mean we'll talk about it in a minute. Anyway, intro gives good context for the whole series with the tragic backstories of all the children of Jane. Basically, they give you the context of Emma and her mother dying. Jane Fairfax, her mother dying and being sent away, and same with Frank Churchill being sent away by his father after his mother dies.
Right, they create this connection that really, I don't know that it's that clear in the book, but it is well constructed here.
It's well established. Johnny Lee Miller is a great Mr. Knightley. Fucking love him.
He's great.
He's smart. He's great. He is observant, and he is handsome.
He's such a cute guy. He's cute as John Major. Come on.
We love John Major. We love Johnny Lee Miller. We love Johnny Mayer, Miller in this house. Mr. Martin is cute, as always. They chose a cute guy. It works. Sir Hugh of the Vale works for me.
Yeah.
Michael Gambon is fun as the cautious and protective Mr. Woodhouse. I would like to say, for this version, they make his intentions and his motivations extremely clear.
Well, he is concerned. So well done. I'm sorry.
He is concerned for his entire family's health because their mother died of an infection. Mm-hmm. And so he is constantly concerned about them even leaving the house for a prolonged period of time. So let alone live in London.
Go to the seaside.
I mean, even for a vacation, which he vocalizes, but he also it also gives context to
emotional dependence.
It's so much better defined in this version of and well acted in this version of the father daughter dynamic of Emma, you are the last thing I have left. I want to keep you safe. I want you to stay near me at all times. Please don't leave me. Yeah. It is so sad and very sweet because
adorable because it's Michael
Gambon. And his voice is fantastic. Yes. And I also really love, I don't think I put it as a best part, but I love that we get to see Isabella and the other Mr. Knightley's beginning of their relationship and a little bit more.
The other Mr. Knightley is the brother of Colin Firth in Love Actually.
I didn't write that down, but he is.
He is the cuckold brother.
He's not the cuckold. Colin Firth is the cuckold.
He's the brother who causes it.
He's the pimp. Anyway. Let me see. I like that Mr. Knightley compares Harriet to Emma's dolls in their argument, because in the beginning, when she sees her sister Isabella and Mr. Knightley playing in the garden, the other Mr. Knightley playing in the garden, she's immediately I'm planning their wedding because I think they'd be great together. And then she looks at Mr. Knightley at the wedding and is just like, oh yeah, I did that. And he's like, no, you said that they would be good together and then they ended up together. That is not the same thing.
Yeah, he's calling her out.
I love it so much.
But he does it in this kind of dry, sarcastic,
but he means well. And
it's so cool.
And I also love, and I don't think I put this in my best parts, but I love seeing him interact with his nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Because we get to see more of Isabella and the other Mr. Knightley. And so when they come to town and the children are there for Christmas playing in the snow, he plays along with them. He's a great uncle.
But he also, and this is definitely something that is in the book, when he sees Emma holding one of the babies, he's like, you look so natural with the baby.
And the baby's name is Emma it was named after her. It was very sweet.
But again, I don't think it's in the book, but the realization that, hey, she'd be a good mom.
And he'd be a great dad.
Oh, yeah. But just the fact that this is going through his head, it's
very sweet.
Sentimental thing.
It's so sweet.
It's adorable.
Let me see. But yeah, she's also playing with dolls in that moment because she was younger. And they're a bride and groom doll. And she's just like, I'm going to make this happen. And he's just like, oh, where are your dolls? Oh, yeah, no, you made new ones with Harriet. Mr. Martin and Harriet are not your dolls that you can manipulate into doing what you want. Obviously, he's wrong, but you shouldn't. Anyway.
And he takes an interest. You get to see more of that. He takes an interest in Mr. Martin and his prospects and trying to make
and his goals for his life. Because he's a young guy.
Right. You want to have a good farm and get married and have kids.
He has good plans.
He does have good plans. And these are good plans that Mr. Knightley wants to.
Because he's one of his tenants. Mr. Martin is. Right. We see more of Mr. Knightley's brother and Isabella. Again, I really like that because it gives more context to the family dynamic that Emma and her father have. Which is great. Emma and Knightley's dance at the ball is adorable because it doesn't have any fucking flashbacks. It's just, and there are some flashbacks in this series, which is fine actually for me. I didn't mind it as much. It was better than a Mr. Darcy ghost in a mirror.
That's true.
In my opinion. It was nice to see because it was a pretty long sequence actually, but I didn't mind it because the chemistry is just really good between Mr. Knightley and Emma in this version. This Emma I really like, and here's why. I think that I can buy her as a younger woman. She's supposed to be my age, 21, going about to be 22. And I see that more in this version than any other version, in my opinion, because she has a lot more energy. It seems like she is making juvenile mistakes, like, but it affects people's lives, and she doesn't realize the power that she really has, or she's trying to exert the power, but she's not doing it well. Either way, and Mr. Knightley points this out several times, but she's exerting this power that she has, like, in a bad way, and he hates that. But I see it more as a young person's mistake, and it's more easily forgiven if it's a young person's mistake, in my opinion. Whereas I see this younger woman as it makes more sense for her, in my opinion. Great father-daughter relationship going into the Box Hill discussion. There's a very sweet discussion where she's going to Box Hill, which is where the Miss Bates thing happens, the picnic. And he really just does not want her to go. He's like, you're going to go for an excursion for almost an entire day. How will I live without you? Like, it's very sweet. And he wants her to stay safe. And she's like, and you know what? I'm going to come back and it's going to be fine. It's almost like spoiler alert. It's very sweet. Emma trying to make amends with Miss Bates a little bit better in this version. Because she actually gets to see Miss Bates. There's a letter to I think Isabella or something that Mr. Woodhouse writes, when he says Emma plans to refurbish Mr. Knightley's chair.
Yeah, it's so funny because so when Mr. Knightley goes away to London and we don't know how long he's gonna be gone, she looks at the chair that he normally sits in and she's like, I hadn't noticed, you know, he's always there. I never noticed that it needed to be refurbished. And she says it out loud. And so he just starts writing. Mr. Woodhouse starts writing it. But the delivery, Michael Gambon is hilarious. He's just perfect at pitch perfect at this. It's great.
I also think it's a really good thing I think another thing they did really well was establish how casual it is for him to just be there. Mr. Knightley to just be there all the time. Yeah. Like, he can walk from his estate very easily, and they established that very quickly.
And he's not naked. Oh, wait, sorry.
That's also true. The Churchillmobile is more dramatic because we see way more of a flirtation directly towards Emma and way more of a dogging on poor Miss Fairfax.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So it makes the reveal way more dramatic, and it makes Emma's reaction more like, oh my god, whoa, okay. Anyway, even if she's developed feelings for Mr. Knightley, it's still a shock.
Yeah, well, and again, I feel like that transition or just the reveal to her is done better in this version than it was with Gwyneth Paltrow. It's kind of like, she's like, how dare he flirt with me? It's kind of like, you don't give a shit. Why don't you know?
But it makes more sense because she feels a little bit more hurt by it.
But then in the Anya Taylor Joy version, they don't even talk to her about it. It's like, oh yeah, don't worry.
I'm more worried about Harriet.
Yes. This
is dumb. I wrote in all caps, great proposal. I loved that. I loved the way they did it.
So good.
It's so good.
So good.
And the kiss afterwards. Mwah! Oh, so good. Yes. We also include the line, if I loved you less, I might be able to talk about it more. That's one of my favorite Jane Austen quotes. I love it.
Yeah. It's great.
It means a lot to me. It's really cute. Yeah, it's we get to see cute stuff after the proposal, like them on a bench, her leaning on him, and they're like playing with each other's hands or whatever, and they're just talking about like, hey, yeah, no, this was wild, like, that's why I went over to London, because I needed to make up my mind and I couldn't stop thinking about you. And she's like, you know what actually made me think of you? Harriet. And he's like, I guess we could talk about Harriet. And she's like, okay, whatever.
I also love when they go in to tell.
I'm going to mention that too.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
So when they go in to tell Mr. Woodhouse that they're going to get married, Emma's so anxious that, and he knows, so he puts his hand in hers behind her back. Like, they're
holding hands behind her back. It's very cute.
It's so cute.
There's a moment right after the proposal, he's at his house, like, writing a letter, and she runs in tears. She says, you know I love you, and I always will. We can never marry. That's all. And then she leaves and he's like, whoa, okay. And he gets up and runs after her. He's like, whoa, 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 Emma, what the fuck was that? Are you kidding? And she's just like, but I can't leave my father. You know that I can't leave my father. And you buy it in this version.
And he's like, I've already thought of it. Don't worry about it.
He puts her like his hands on his shoulders and is like, listen, I'm going to live with you. And she's like, are you sure? And he's like, yes. And she's like, oh, thank God. Yeah. And then you have
this
that
is
moment.
Where he talks about how hard it is.
And that's why I think in this version, another best part, they balance each other out really well. Because she's very energetic and he is more of the calm. Mm-hmm. And they kind of mesh a little bit better to me, I think. I like it a lot. Yeah, the holding hands behind her back is adorable. I like that they resolved the plot lines really like smoothly in this version. Like every single one of them is pretty well tied mm-hmm. at the end. Yeah. Great ending with them going to the seaside, because Emma mentioned she had never been to the sea because obviously her father's a nervous wreck. And
oh, I love that they have this like stealth honeymoon. It's so cute.
It's so cute. And she's like, she tells her father, I'm going to only be gone for 2 weeks. It's okay. And he's like, where are you going? And she's like, I don't even know, which is probably a good idea that she doesn't know. That's a great job by Miss Knightley. But because he would just freak out more.
Well, and he knows. He knows that's going to be a thing. So
yeah, yeah, it's very sweet.
It's
I
very
love that.
Cute. It's very
and those
cute.
Are my best parts. It was, I really liked the series.
I think we had, I was very surprised by liking.
Oh, me too.
So I put down, you know, good tragic backstories. I love that the cast is great. Production yeah. value is really great. Good costumes, probably not at the level of either of the movies, but whatever, mm-hmm. I don't care. Emma is extra bitchy early. And some of her phrasing is a little modern-ish. She's extra bitchy early. Like when she talks about Mr.
Martin
being
early
clownish,
is so he's awful. Yeah, she calls her.
But
clown.
She talks about Miss Bates early. It's really awful. So it's yeah. bad. She's very selfish.
It's bad, but
she resolves. She gets better.
You see the growth better.
But and she gets better. Sooner, like
yeah.
like there is actual
growth
earlier than right at the end, which
yeah.
you know I think is important.
I think that's true.
There's good music.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Emma and Mr. Elton proposal thing is hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny.
But it's not the best because
you know, it's not.
No, so there's the dance is really really good. Knightley is way 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 better than Emma,
well,
but always. There is a very sweet dynamic between Emma and her dad that I really love. I think
yeah.
I think that and the conversations are quite natural, so I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Harriet is better spoken in
I
this
agree.
Version than I kind and a little bit more insightful than I would expect her to be in most of them.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal is fantastic. And I love that ending at the Dover cliffside with the
yeah.
sunset. It's really beautiful.
It's, so
sweet. It's really nicely done. The location's really great. What cons did you have for this?
Too long, but this yeah. just because it had to be padded because it was a series. But
mm-hmm.
at least it wasn't six episodes. It was four. It was not as bad. I think it could have done in three, but I think I can let it go because Emma has a lot more going on, in my opinion. Some long and unnecessary pauses. That was a very, very, very nitpicky thing that I noticed at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Emma calling Mr. Martin clownish and being more openly nasty about him. But I think, honestly, that helps. I wrote that in the moment, but again, it helps you see her development. Even after Harriet receives their proposal, she's more hands-off of, like, well, I mean, I wouldn't, but that's up to you. Like, it still is enough to make Harriet not want to, but, or, like, to feel like she has to not, but
mm-hmm.
it's not as bitchy, I think, as the other two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see much jealousy coming from Emma about Jane Fairfax, but then I see it more later on, about Jane Fairfax and Mr. Knightley's connection that is pointed out
right.
to her
there's
by
not,
Mrs. Weston.
Yeah.
It's not as much, but I don't mind it in a way because they've amped up the flirtation with her and Mr. Churchill
mm-hmm.
because it kind of balances each other out because by the end they're both realizing, oh shit, we are very jealous.
Mm-hmm.
So it works itself out. Harriet fainting in Mr. Churchill's arms after being saved. I said, girl, you were pushed over by some 12-year-olds. I think you'll be fine. The way they do the traveler attack is literal children pushing her to the ground and taking her money. And I'm like, it is children. Like, girl, get a grip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emma defending Mr. Churchill so much to Mr. Knightley is, it hurts to see, but again, it's meant to be that way. And she apologizes specifically for, oh my god, I've said so many things on his behalf, I'm so sorry. So she says it specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Churchill flirting so much more with Emma, even in front of Jane Fairfax, which hurts her feelings.
Well, right.
I would not want to marry that man.
And Jane just can't be around Emma toward the end. And can you blame her?
It's no matter how handsome you are, Mr. Churchill, absolutely not.
Yeah, that was uncool. So I had notes, and some of it, again, it's nitpicky. I failed to note one of the things I really like about the series, and it's shown a tiny bit in the Anna Taylor-Joy, but it is shown a lot in the series, and I really like this, that Mr. Knightley talks to Mrs. Weston.
Yes.
And the fact that he knows, like, he and Mrs. Weston have for a long time been the people who have championed Emma and have helped, you know, try to guide her. And he knows that from an influence on Emma's standpoint, that's the person that you go to. Like, if I'm going to talk about Emma, I'm not going to go to, like, some person who doesn't know
her. Or even her father.
I'm going to go to someone.
The one who knows her best.
Who knows her best. Like, you know, get some real real things like that. There is a lot of walking and talking in this series. I know that it's Regency era and that's what they did. So it's a thing. There's extra Mr. Martin in this, which I feel like is maybe unnecessary. Emma and Mr. Elton, the way this is portrayed, so the things that lead up to Mr. Elton proposing to her, she would have to have been the complete and total moron, like totally fucking clueless that he was not interested in Harriet. Like, mm-hmm. He is very obviously interested in Emma. It's like, what fucking planet are you on? There's a lot of padding to this, and I'm not really sure what I think about it. They have some extra stuff with Mr. Knightley, like, not that I mind this because I love him, but it's kind of like Mr. Knightley's having a flashback of Emma. It's like, so we're just going to show that he is, like, that much better than she is. He is 1,000 times better than she is. She needs to be pining for him, not the other way around, because she is the person who needs to improve. But, you know, we love him, and so it's more Mr. Knightley. Yay. She hides behind the bushes when he shows up at the house
for the proposal. For the proposal,
and looks really dumb. And there's a stupid chase at the end. I kind of felt like when she came in and she's like, I can't marry you. I'm like, you're being annoying.
I thought it was funny.
You're being annoying, but whatever. That's pretty much it. So
let's move on to the 2020 version.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the cast. Anya Taylor-Joy is Emma. Bill Nighy is Mr. Woodhouse. Callum Turner is Mr. Churchill. He was Theseus in Fantastic Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Josh O'Connor is Mr. Elton. Yes.
He's such a wham.
Angus Imrie is a servant. He's Edward in The Crown, mm-hmm. Which was a fun little reunion.
Yes.
Gemma Whalen is Mrs. Weston, who's Yara. In Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Rupert Graves is Mr. Weston. He's Detective Inspector Lestrade in Sherlock. Chloe Peary is Isabella, The Crown, as the woman being cheated on. So those are the ones we recognize.
Yes. Yes.
So here are my pros. There are fewer. Good costumes for the most part. I think that it was well done, except for a few like neck pieces I didn't love. Like,
they're like weird dickies.
Almost. Like, it's like a little, almost Elizabethan, but like in a weird way. Like, it really, really high collars.
So it's a high collar that is tied onto a bare chest.
It's weird. You could just put a shirt underneath, but fine. And like, there are really high collars on like people who don't really have very defined chins, which is kind of awkward. Nothing against the people who don't have really defined chins. Beautiful sets and on-site locations. That was true for all of them. It's great. Bill Nighy is funny because he's Bill Nighy.
Yeah.
Josh O'Connor is the best part of this movie.
No question.
No question.
He's so fucking fabulous.
He's in a scene, I'm laughing. Like, he did not have to go this hard, but rent was due and he paid it. He's fucking fantastic. And Mr. Elton isn't even supposed to be that big of a deal, but I made him a big deal because he's so fucking funny. His face. If I just look at him and I laugh, like his creepy little smile, like
he does the eyes, and
it's so funny.
He's so funny, and then
he needs to be in everything.
These little gestures with his fingers,
gestures, his facial expressions, everything's on point, and it's the most wacky choice you could think of, but it works
because in this
world he needs to be ridiculous.
Yes.
Mr. Martin's adorable. Like a kicked puppy kind of way, like any.
I don't like him as much in this one, but it's fine.
He has less to do, but he's cute. Mr. Churchill is hot. Minsthesius, what am I going to say? He's totally Harriet being upset with Emma for telling her to refuse Mr. Warren. At the very end when she's talking to her about liking Mr. Knightley, it's very clear she knows that, and I'll talk about this in my cons, she's like, oh, so you want Mr. Knightley for yourself. You told me to refuse Mr. Martin. What the fuck? I like that she brought up the Mr. Martin thing. Right.
But again, I think it's wrong timing. I like this confrontation.
I think it should have happened after the proposal.
Correct.
The nosebleed is funny.
Oh, yeah. So when she gets
I thought that was a staple of Emma when I watched that for the first time. Yeah,
it's not.
Because I hadn't seen the Gwyneth Paltrow version in a while. So when I watched this new Emma when it came out. No one knows
what you're talking about, Natalie. When she gets proposed to, Emma has a nosebleed because she's stressed out about it.
Yes. When I watched this for the first time, when we watched this new Emma for the first time, I was like, is that a staple in all Emmas? That's kind of funny. And then when I rewatched the Gwyneth Paltrow version, I was like, oh, no nosebleed. I actually kind of like it without it. But either way, it's fine. It's a funny little thing. Emma apologizing to Mr. Martin and giving him a goose. I kind of liked, because at least she's directly being like, hey, I fucked up. I'm so sorry for ruining your life.
My first, I like Bill Nye and Taylor-Joy generally as actors. So
the fact that
their presence is fine. I don't really like their dynamic in the cons. Random royals from The Crown, I think, is so great. I love Yara.
Random anybody from The Crown is funny.
I love Yara as Mrs. Weston. They're good sets. I agree with you. They're very, very upscale. Like, everything is Pemberley. And it's everything, including, like, there is a ball or a party at a tradesman's house.
Oh,
the Coles.
The Coles.
And it's kind of like, I mean, even in the series, it's kind of like, damn, this is a nice house.
Yeah, really.
You know, like, why are you apparently Emma was like looking down on these tradespeople. It's like,
I mean, that was also true in like the series or whatever, like, the other movie as well.
So, but again, like, these houses are all like, holy shit.
They're beautiful.
They are. So, I can't even read this note. Mr. Weston. Oh yeah, he's just funnier. I love the actor. He's so great.
I love the actor. Watch Sherlock. It's great.
Yeah. Mr. Elton with multiple exclamation points.
Oh yes.
Josh O'Connor is, and that comes up later in all cast. Josh O'Connor. I so much. So there's some quirkiness in this whole thing. Much of it I don't like, honestly, and I find unnecessary. It's like. This is a comedic movie anyway. It is a comedy. I don't need to be beaten over the head with the fact that it's a comedy. And I feel like maybe they just feel like this generation is too stupid to get that it's a comedy. So we're going to do like some slapstick.
It's too highbrow because it's Jane Austen. Yeah, that's not true.
I don't know. But some of the quirks are actually fine. I like Bill Nye's quirks in this. Some of them, not all of them. And Josh O'Connor, like I said, can do no wrong. He hits it exactly right. But wherever the line is, he hits that line. It's perfect.
He crosses the line and gladly so. God.
But he crosses the line into being overtly funny, but not into being
too much.
Too much, right? So he still has that
dignity. Even if it was too much, I flashed.
That Josh O'Connor dignity kind of pulls it back just a little bit. I love it.
His face, the entire movie is so funny.
The guy playing Mr. Knightley, I have a lot of cons about, but he does improve over the course of the movie, and that's okay.
He's my least favorite. We'll talk about that on the con. Sorry, go ahead.
Random crown people, because there are additional ones. Mrs. Elton's hair?
Oh, yes, because her hair is like in a bow-ish
Cressida
Cowper.
Cressida Cowper hair bow thing that it works in Bridgerton because it's over the top.
And everyone's over the top.
It does not work here because it really, this should not be. This is real Regency as opposed to faux Regency.
Well, they're trying.
The proposal's good.
I think the proposal's fine.
And I like the fact that Emma does apologize to at least someone in this, but I have a lot of things to say about many other things. So what were your cons?
Let me just lay down what I'm thinking, because this is my least favorite. It's because every character is, except for Mr. Elton, is my least favorite version of the character. Sure. I mean, the Westons are fine. That's not like an issue, but and Mr. Churchill is okay, but less developed. And so let me just go ahead and get started. Even from the very first scene, I wrote this note down. Emma is so much more bitchy in this version.
Yeah.
Like, it is so much harder to sympathize or empathize with her on any level, because in many ways I can see and empathize with Emma. Like, we've all been in the situation where we have this one person who's annoying in our lives, where we are just like, oh, I wish I could say this one thing, and then you say it and then you regret it. Like, everyone's been in that position, and Emma just voices it and fucks it up. But
in this version,
her being bitchy all the time is really hurting. Yeah. And it's not, I don't think it's entirely Anya Taylor-Joy's fault. I think she's a great actress, but she plays bitchy better than she plays nice, if yes, I'm being honest.
That's
and
true.
So it's kind of harder for me to see her as a nicer person who's like feeding the poor or like doing this out of the kindness of her heart and thinking she's doing a good thing for a friend, and then it just not working out. And but she feels like she's above it all.
Self-centered and yes, selfish.
Way more self-centered. There are too many servants to make Emma feel like her father would be truly alone without her. I think that the series did it best, in my opinion, of establishing the father-daughter relationship of he is very dependent on her being there for him to a nice, like, calm existence.
Bill Nye is way hilarious, too energetic and dynamic and not dependent on anyone.
Yes.
He's bossing everybody around. He has
too many people to talk to.
He's not sickly at all.
And one thing thinks he's sickly.
Right.
But one thing I think, again, the series version did better is that the house feels emptier. And so, we rarely see any servants or anything. Of course, they probably exist because they're wealthy, but it's not as though they have people to just talk to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that made the departure of the now Miss Weston so hard on them that they don't have a companion anymore. And it's just the two of them. And one day Emma will probably leave because she's going to get married someday. And so I don't see it as much in this version just because there are really always people around. That's just my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Random nakedness with Mr. Knightley. It was unnecessary. I'm not complaining exactly. He is a hot person. He has a very beautiful body. Good for him for feeling confident enough to do this, like, right on. But I don't think it was necessary. It was just like for him to change into Regency other Regency clothes. I'm like, okay.
Do we need to see that?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this some sort of like, hey,
was that necessary for him? That's being the contract?
Yeah, you know, I understand that Bridgerton has set a bar for Regency porn.
I think that might be part of it.
I do too, but it's not.
Well, no, this was released in 2020, just like Bridgerton. So, I mean,
maybe it was the same. I don't know.
I don't know.
I was trying to compete. No.
I don't know.
No, it's a very different thing.
Harriet's voice is annoying. I don't think this actress is exactly bad. Her lack of eyebrows is distracting, but I think that's just a choice the actress has made in general of just not having eyebrows, which, again, right
I'm
on.
Not sure that's true. Okay.
Well, just based off of the pictures I've seen of her, she just doesn't have eyebrows, which, again, right on, your choice.
I don't think they were shaved. I think they're like super pale.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. Either way, the lack of eyebrows was rather distracting, but again, that's an actress's choice. That's whatever. But her voice choice for this series really annoyed me, and Harriet already it annoys me as a character, and that's just kind of like what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to seem very unintelligent and very dependent on Emma. Like, Emma wants to be dependent
tell
on
tell me what to do
tell me what to do tell me what to say. I think I've made up my mind, maybe, but you make it up for me. And that's supposed to be Harriet's character, but her voice really made it hard for me to care. Weird music and folk songs. I don't think all the music was bad. I think the folk songs took me out of it.
Most of the music was bad. Bad choices for this movie. I think there is good music as music goes, but not for this movie.
Yes. I don't like seeing Isabella and the other Mr. Knightley so miserable with their kids. With each other. I don't like that because, again, in the series version, Emma takes responsibility for them being together, and it's a happy relationship, and that's a big, like, notch in her belt, yeah, in a way. And so she can feel, and again, the Westons are very happy together, so it's like, okay, well, I've done it twice, I feel like I can do it again. I know what I'm doing. So seeing them so miserable is like, okay, well, why do you feel confident you can make a happy marriage? And it's not like she takes responsibility in this version exactly, but it's so sad to see. And I don't like that the now Mrs. Knightley is also a worrier, kind of like Michael Gambon was in the other version, because I feel like if her father was like that, she would be like the opposite. She would be like, oh, well, that's bullshit. Like, we're all fine.
Yeah.
We're good. But now she does it to the point of resentment. Anyway, Emma doesn't feel bad enough for the Mr. Elton situation. She
doesn't feel bad about anything she does. And that really bugs the shit.
Yeah, she, after Mr. Elton proposes to her and she's like, no, fuck no. And which again is a very funny scene because of Josh O'Connor.
Yes.
But and again, it's not that Anya Taylor-Joy wasn't there. She was, and she did fine. It's just Josh O'Connor steals the scene.
He's amazing.
But it's hard. It's hard. Oh my God. Oh,
he's so good.
So everything he does. Anyway. So I might just do Challengers just for him. Either way, there's this point where Emma, in all the other versions, both of the other versions that I've seen, she starts basically crying, being like, oh my God, I just fucked things up for Harriet, because I thought, and I got her hopes up so high that this guy was in love with her, and I made her refuse this other guy because I thought he was in love with her, or I could make it so. And now I've fucked her. Sorry. And she feels really, really bad for that in the other two versions, especially the series. She starts crying. She's like, I'm so sorry, Harriet. I'm so sorry.
She asks forgiveness.
She asks forgiveness. In this version, she's just like, well, here it is. And Harriet's like, okay, well, I guess I don't blame you. It's like, okay, what? Are you kidding? What? That's the apology? You didn't even apologize. What the fuck was that? Anyway. Weird that Mr. Knightley sings with Jane and doesn't say he won't dance at the ball. That's a part of Mr. Knightley's character. He doesn't like attention. Yeah. And that's, it's kind of like it's a lot like a Mr. Darcy situation where he doesn't converse well with people he doesn't know.
Right.
It's not that he's unfriendly. It's not that he just isn't confident. He's insecure.
Right. And
it makes him endearing.
Right. And he's also especially somebody you can see like being someone who talks to guys easily.
Oh yeah, very easily.
But really struggles like with women.
Yeah. Actually, he does fine with Jane Fairfax. Either way,
he does fine with Jane. Women of a certain station. So Jane Fairfax, Mrs. Weston,
who like people of a lower station of him, he is very easy to converse. He easily converses with them. But other people, it can be a little bit harder for him because he has a toe in the real world.
Yeah.
Either way, him getting up in front of people playing the fiddle, or a violin,
and singing.
is way more of a Frank Churchill kind of thing. Maybe this Theseus guy didn't want to sing. That's fine. You could just not have it.
Exactly.
You could just ignore it and not have it happen.
You create this kind of reasons for Emma to be jealous of Knightley and Jane Fairfax that weren't there in any other version.
Because it was all hearsay that he was interested. And in the series, I think they did it really well. There's a conversation
she asked him about it,
Hartfield, and is like, hey, so what's this whole thing about Jane Fairfax? And he's like, oh, you've heard the gossip. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in Jane Fairfax.
Yeah.
So it's clear. And again, very direct. Love that for him. Not in this version. In this version, I don't like that he doesn't tell Emma, I'm not going to dance at the party or the ball. Mm-hmm. And that makes the part where he does it, he dances with Harriet even more impactful, because you know he doesn't want to. And then he dances with Emma later at her request. It makes it more impactful. It makes it more like, oh, he's doing this just
because
for her.
Because he loves her.
He did that with Harriet just
because
for her.
He loves her.
Because he loves her. And I don't like that he just was like, oh, well, I'm a confident guy. I'm just going to do it. It's like, no, that's not your thing at all.
No.
Harriet figuring out that Emma wants Knightley for herself so soon.
That's wrong.
The timing's wrong. I think that would have been a great argument for after the proposal, but not before. She doesn't give him an answer for the proposal. Emma doesn't.
Yeah, it's dumb. And he gets
that's
excited.
What I don't like about the proposal. That's why it wasn't a best part or right. pro for
he,
me.
He gets excited for no good reason. She hasn't answered him. She's just like,
he like
oh,
pops his fist in the air. I'm like, bro, you
what
didn't get an answer.
You're gonna answer. What the fuck is
and,
that?
And she also is like, oh my God, Harriet. It's like in that moment, she's more thinking about her father than Harriet. Because at that
she
point,
she's
be. Really
she
figured
be, but she's
it.
Not.
She, should be,
she doesn't
but
even
this
think
version,
about Harriet. She doesn't even think about Harriet in any other version. Like until significantly after.
Yeah. And whatever. I don't care about Harriet finding out the identity of her father. That's not the point of her character. Her
it's
the point
not
of her character,
even in the fucking book. Who fucking cares?
I don't care because, like, literally, it doesn't matter who her father is. She's found love. She's figured out her life's goals and she's laid out her life in a way that she wants it. Her father did provide for her, which is great. And maybe along the, like, down the line, she might meet him at some point, but I don't need that described right now. I don't care.
Right. So is that it?
Yes.
All right. So mine, I'm going to try to go very quickly because we've been talking a lot.
I'm sorry.
My least favorite, just in case you were wondering. the series I think is probably my favorite, which is surprising.
We'll do it in rankings.
But this is very candy colored. I don't like that. Mm. I felt like Emma was super bitchy and not in a way that gets resolved well. Which I just don't like. The music is a bit much. And again, you have like random church songs or folk songs or whatever, but you also have very kind of like, we're having a day out kind of music. It's very lighthearted. There's nothing. I don't
very
know.
Wes Anderson.
Yeah. It's just not great. The dad is not needy at all. And so there's like no basis for any of the stuff involving I Have to Live with Dad. Mr. Knightley's random nakedness. It's not like this guy is not attractive.
Oh, he is.
Generally, he's not hot though. I mean, like, okay, physically, he's. I don't know how to put this, but I don't find him as attractive as
the other two.
Right,
I agree.
So
that's nothing against the actor. He is a handsome man.
Yeah,
I
and he's also
the other
short,
two.
Which you know,
that's not an issue.
It
for
becomes
me,
an issue when he's standing next to.
No,
Theseus,
it makes it funnier. It, that's what the point was supposed to be.
Was it?
Really? He can't measure up.
He can't measure up. So, there are unnecessary quirks in this, and like I said, I like Bill Nye being quirky. Like, oh, we have to put this here, we have to put this there, but it goes against the character of Mr. Woodhouse, and so I feel like those are. Again, it's done to make it more of a slapstick kind of thing, which I don't think is necessary. Harriet's just annoying. Emma is way too bitchy. And this is, the internet's like halfway through. Frank is a complete dick. And again, you know, I don't know that that's terribly surprising, but he's a complete dick.
He is.
Why did Knightley play with Jane? Don't understand it. Mm. The love, that realization that they're in love happens very early in this version. Like, so after the dance, she takes a carriage home and he chases the carriage on foot. And they're about to have like some sort of, oh, I love you kind of thing in the courtyard when Mr. Churchill shows up with Harriet, who has been attacked. None of that should happen in that sequence. And the two of them feeling like, oh, I love you in that moment, like
it feels out of place.
And then it gets thwarted, I guess, by Harriet or by Mr. Churchill or by whatever. Like, you couldn't just like talk about it later. This is fucking dumb.
It's one of my least favorite TV tropes of like, oh, a kiss was interrupted, we can't kiss ever again. It's like, what do you, what? Wait until they leave the room. Kiss.
Yeah.
It's like, stop it.
That sense that they're in love with each other and want to be together happens very early and I don't like it. Harriet being a little bit smarter, like that moment of like, hey, you want him from you.
That, again, that's
like,
fine after the proposal.
I actively don't like the nosebleed. I just don't.
They needed something.
I had something about someone being a dipshit, but whatever. And Harriet's dad bullshit. I don't care. All right, so
our rankings for this one may surprise. Mine is obviously, I think the series is the best, the 2009 series, which surprised me because I thought the Gwyneth Paltrow would be, but I really love what they do with the series of giving context, making the father-daughter relationship way more established.
They could make it a great movie out of that, like edit out a couple of
things. I agree.
Absolutely.
And the cast is fantastic. I love
Johnny Lee Miller.
Yep, he's great.
Okay. And then we've got, after that is the Gwyneth Paltrow version, and then the Anya Taylor-Joy version after that. Because
It's pretty to look at, but it's not a good version of Emma. So if you are looking for versions of Emma, surprise yourself. Take the time and watch the 2009 BBC series. It's four episodes.
You can do it.
You can do it. If you're binging, binge. Get something to binge with. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. We are going to be binging next. Oh my God. Northanger Abbey. Holy shit.
I'm sorry. This is probably our least favorite.
Don't know that.
Let me give context really, really, really quickly. What we watched over the spring break of, like, we were watching different versions of all the stuff. The one version I was going to watch of Northanger Abbey was the Felicity Jones version, but then we ended up watching like 2 minutes of the 80s version, which we're going to be watching for this.
Oh my God, it was a lot, very
80s.
We're going to talk about it when it's the proper time.
And then the Felicity Jones version. So we have two versions that we're going to be watching. Just based off the movie, it's probably my least favorite Jane Austen story.
Well, we're going to talk about it. So we're looking forward to sharing it with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.